Sci-Fi and Fantasy Light and Dark is hosted by Anna Rose, the author of The Tales of the Dragon Guard and The Shimari Web. In addition to Anna, the cast will also feature guest authors with discussions of their own work, the state of the genre, its history, its possible future, and more. Beware, the cast may include profanity. In addition, religion and politics may be discussed as they pertain to the genre, but care will be taken to keep those subjects as neutral as possible. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Fantasy Light and Dark. I'm your host, Anna Rose. Within these virtual walls, you'll find all manner of discussion about writing, science fiction and fantasy, random fun bits, life, and more. I'm the author of several books and two series, The Tales of the Dragon Guard and The Shimari Web, which, since the series name doesn't explain anything about it, except for wrongly suggesting spiders, is actually about vampires. I live in usually sunny Southern California, land of blissfully boring weather. I drive a small German manual transmission vehicle and make rude comments about the drivers around me as I drive the small German manual transmission vehicle. I use plenty of colorful metaphors in the process. I'm a bit of a grammar freak as well when it comes to writing. I do try to behave myself when it comes to others' writing, but it's sort of OCD with me at times. I also play online games like Diablo 3 and World of Warcraft for the Horde! Read like a fiend, write like a lunatic, am an unrepentant omnivore, drink thick, dark, strong craft beers, am owned by a small dog, and pun. I'm sorry. Well, not really. Somebody has to do it. I've been writing for what seems like forever, but my first published novel was Shifra, which was released in 2012. So that'd make it about 6.5 years of professional writing as of today. I love words and how they go together. I'm a lover of semantics, which makes listening to politicians an interesting adventure. The words they use don't necessarily mean what they want you to think they mean. I'm reminded of no new taxes. Yes, I'm that old. Not quite ancient, but old enough. But enough about politics for this nanosecond. That's not why you decided to listen, I imagine, and I can imagine quite a bit. Yeah, I'm a Star Wars fan, too. As today is the first episode of the show, I've decided to address questions sent to me by my readers. These first three questions came my way via Facebook and were submitted by Nick right after I announced the new podcast on that social networking site. Just a note, you can also submit questions via the link on the Anchor podcast page, and I'll include that audio on the podcast if you decide to submit them that way. Just remember that I reserve the right to answer or not answer any question you might submit for any reason. And now, on to the first three questions of the podcast series. What advice do you have for new authors? First, Nick, thank you so very much for sending in not just one, but three questions for me. I'll do my best to answer them in as satisfactory a way as I can. So then, advice for new authors. Okay, the first bit is to just write. Most writers have been writing in some form or another nearly their entire lives, whether it's completely new stuff out of their heads, fan fiction, poetry, or whatever. Writing has been part of them for maybe as long as they can remember. I started out writing in spiral notebooks, mostly what would be called fan fiction or fanfic today. Nothing I would actually want to see in print, to be perfectly honest. It was all pretty raw and Mary Sue-ish and frankly sort of embarrassing when I think of it today. When my mother saw how much writing I was doing, she bought me an old secondhand portable Royal typewriter that even came with its own case. It was blue and zipped shut. I wrote on that typewriter like crazy, but still used those faithful old college-ruled spiral notebooks. I preferred the spiral college-ruled ones because the regular standard lines were just way too fat and I couldn't get enough words on a page. I fanficked The Lost Boys, MacGyver, the gods only know what else. I only remember that I would spend hours sequestered away in my room writing my heart out while laying belly down on my bed. Those were, of course, the days when I could actually read my own handwriting. These days, something handwritten might start out being legible, but then quickly devolve into something that might or might not be medical records. In perfect honesty, I'm glad I lost those early examples of my writing. I don't think I'd be up to reading through them again. Take this as a very strong recommendation that you use something like a laptop, desktop, or some other electronic typing device for your work. You want to be able to know what you wrote rather than guessing when the time comes around to start the editing process. Also, when you use an internet-connected device, you can upload your work to your preferred cloud storage site. I use Box.com. Nope, this isn't a paid endorsement. I just like them a lot to keep it safe. You don't want all your hard work to go the way of my old spiral notebooks, right? But I digress. Just keep writing. I recommend trying to find a time of day and a place where that's all you do if you have that opportunity. That can help you get in the swing of things and start a good habit. It does take some dedication unless you plan to drag things out for years before you manage to publish your first story or novel. I tell you what, Nick, I'll come back to this subject frequently over the course of this series and address it further. If you have more questions about it or want more detail, please feel free to submit more questions. I'll be happy to answer them if I'm able. How did you choose your genre? How did I choose my genre? Wow. I guess it sort of chose me. I've been a huge fan of science fiction and fantasy since I was a really little kid. My folks got me into reading when I was about 5, and the natural progression was writing, I suppose. My father had science fiction books laying around all over the place, it seemed, so being the naturally curious person I've always been, I picked up my first one, which was one of Asimov's Lucky Star novels, and was hooked. From there, it wasn't difficult to slide into fantasy, which offers more versatility to a writer since it doesn't necessarily require a basis in scientific reality. If you know me, you know that I tend to micromanage my worlds and my characters, and I need to know exactly how things work, so it wouldn't be at all easy for me to just blow off the reasons why something would be even in a fantasy world. I do consider that both as a positive and a negative, but that's how my mind works. What got you into writing in the first place as more than a hobby? You're making me brain here, Nick. Braining is hard. Well, here it is. At the moment, I write mostly dragon-related and vampire-related fiction. My first novel, Shifra, came about because I'd been looking everywhere for new material, but all I seemed to find was stuff about self-hating vampires looking for rescue or hiding in some dark place, moping like crazy and hating every tiny bit of their existence. These stories would involve usually some sweet young thing who discovers the vampire, breaks through his self-imposed hermithood, falls madly in love with him, and eventually he with her, and eventually they both live happily ever after, with the bloodsucker sticking to conveniently bagged blood courtesy of the local blood bank or the morgue, or blood and wine bottles stored in the refrigerator, thank you Forever Night, or some other non-violent means of getting one's food. I'm sorry, but I just can't stomach that kind of stuff, no pun intended. If you hate yourself that much, end yourself in the style dictated by the mythos from whence you come and go away. I'm over you. I was so disgusted by what I found as potential reading material that I decided to start writing my own. I figured that I couldn't be the only person out there who didn't like what was on offer. No self-hating vampires, no romance, no orgiastic vampire, human monster sex scenes, nothing like that. The result of been reviews and fan mail from both men and women who truly enjoy this series, which, by the way, is called the Shamari Web. As vampire fiction has classically been something embraced more by women than men, I must be doing something right here, if I'm hearing from both sides of the equation. And yes, the fourth book in the series, Kosan Fola, is still in production. I've just had so much more going on that I really haven't been able to get it finished to my satisfaction. I do promise it's going to happen, really. Anyhow, thank you so very much, Nick, for submitting these questions. I hope I've done them justice. If I haven't, let me know, please, and I'll see what I can do to offer some clarification. And you all may well want to know what I'm working on right now. Right now I'm working on the third story in the Tales of the Dragon Guard series. It's called Cal's Heart, and it's intended to be the third and final story in this particular series, which started with Aya's Dragon and continues with Sarah's Fire, both of which are available as ebooks. In addition, Aya's Dragon is available as an audiobook at Audible, Amazon, and iTunes for less than $7, which is one hell of a deal, I think. The audiobook version of Sarah's Fire is currently in pre-production, a process that can and does take time unless you really want the result to sound as though it was cobbled together by a tone-deaf naked mole rat. No, really. You wouldn't like that one bit, trust me on this. I always have something new on the back burner, simmering happily. I've never been one to work on only one thing at a time. Yes, it does tend to make some projects take longer to complete than others, but that's the way my particular writer brain operates. Yours may be different. I really do appreciate all your patience with me for that failing. If you've hung on this long, thank you for listening to our natal show. The episode's official title is What in the Multiverse Is This? I may or may not have managed to fully answer that question today, but if I haven't, you can also submit questions for me that I will do my utmost to answer to your satisfaction, either via my Facebook page or going to anchor.fm and the program page to submit an audio message. I've got a guest in mind for the next cast, which should be available in about a week's time, which, by the way, is the intended time frame for each new episode of the show. Our hero is still working on his first novel, but having had the rare and much appreciated opportunity to read it while it's still in progress, has got me very excited to see it in its final form. It hasn't lost my interest yet. It's had it from the start, and I'm looking forward to being able to share it with you as well. So I'll see you then, I hope, this next week. Thank you again for listening. I hope to listen to you with your messages. Until then, I remain your host, Anna Rose. Have a fantabulous day. And now a snippet of my current work in progress, Cal's Heart. A vivid purple blur darted down out of the sky and disappeared over the edge behind the falling boy. There was a yelp of pain and surprise, and then the purple dragon reappeared, holding the squalling child in a taloned front paw large enough to fully enclose his slight body. Finally managing to rise, Marin ran forward and took the child from the purple dragon, babbling her effusive thanks to the swift beast that had protected her wayward son from worse than a few scrapes and bruises. The dragon's soft forefoot brushed against her hand as it drew away, shrinking to less massive dimensions. And then Marin remembered, and her face seemed to bleach white as the blood drained from it. She felt her stomach heave and her throat worked as she fought to keep from vomiting. "Oh, great merciful God," she choked. "Have mercy on my sweet boy." And then she did throw up, fainted, and fell to the ground. Harold, just as white-faced as his mate, only just managed to catch the little boy before he fell as well. Cal Drozen, dirty-faced, with a long, bloody scrape down his left cheek, shrieked with glee as his father caught him around the waist, not realizing how dangerous a position he had just been in, and the grim possibility of what he now faced.